Lift off.
Boom. We're back. We love taking these 2 week breaks. I think that's healthy for us.
Was it 2 weeks? No, it was a week. We did it last week.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd be forgetting.
You'd be tripping.
Yeah. That's okay. So how was your week?
My week has been interesting. Did some work on the Honda to get that ready. Did some work on the toter home. We can talk about
that. Toter home. What you guys do there? Yeah.
Well, we are we're doing some technological advancements in the audio department.
Audio, you know? Huh?
Yeah. So last year, that toter home has a very weird sound system, and it uses a car stereo as the amplifier for the speakers that are in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And then in the front, it uses just a regular old receiver. And last year, as you were, you noticed, it was very hard to hook up to, like, play music or anything for that matter. It was always fucking up. And I was the only one who could figure it out. Everybody else was too dumb or too drunk to figure it out. So,
well, I mean, David, that is your profession. Yeah. So,
well, my profession is more computers, not so much audio stuff, but I'm good with audio.
It's all the same.
It's all, well, audio is like a lot more old school, like, you know, speaker wire and all that shit. So, but that being said, I do have a background in that and I enjoy that kind of stuff. So, God, I'm like yawning a fuck ton. That just shows how busy I am at work. Work has been absolutely psychotic. Apologies if I'm not my usual crazy self. But that being said, all right. So, yeah. So, for whatever reason, the designers of this toter home thought that it was a good idea to use a car stereo as the amplifier. Mm-hmm. And that car stereo is very basic. It's really a piece of shit, honestly. It's just not good, and we really need to upgrade it. So David and I had a long discussion on one of our trips back from, I forget what state, but, you know, we decided that he wanted to go with Sonos. And now Sonos, I actually am not that familiar with. I don't have anything that Sonos makes, but I know they're reputable company. So I was like, okay, whatever, we'll do that route. But, you know, when we started to take apart the audio system over the weekend, that's when we fully realized how difficult this task might be, because there's multiple speakers in the back, but he wants to be able to control them individually and through Bluetooth or wireless internet. So that limits your options to either using AirPlay or Sonos. And since he already had Sonos stuff, we went along with that. So now there's going to be multiple different amplifiers going to different parts of the trailer so you can individually adjust the inside and the outside. I know that sounds really complex, and it is. So we're going to have to figure that out. We ordered some of the stuff that needs to be done. And then in the inside, like where the truck is, that we're upgrading the radio, the head unit that's in the actual truck, because that also is a pile. And David broke it.
Who's installing all this?
I'm installing. You know me. I'm good with wiring. You know, just hope for the best.
Hope for the best. It sounds like this is gonna be a disaster.
This is one of those moments where I feel like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I feel like I can figure it out.
I mean,
wiring, yeah. Listen, as long as I have a wiring diagram for the radio and the head unit, and I can compare it to the factory head unit. Is that not plug and
play? They don't make like a plug and play kit for that?
No, especially because the head unit in there has already been hacked up because they already put in a Kenwood or whatever the fuck. So we want something with CarPlay so we can. Even though we don't even use the GPS there, we want another GPS, I guess. So, because that truck, so something I didn't know until I started driving big trucks is they can't go on certain roads. You know, you would think that, you know, you can go on any road, but that's just not the case. And so you have to buy, you know, basically you have to buy like GPS units that are designed for tractor trailer trucks or large vehicles, because they'll map out routes that the vehicle is capable of going through, because you put in the dimensions of the truck and then it'll map out how to get there. Because like if we used Waze, it would be like, oh, go through the center of Boston, you know, to leave. Well, can't drive a, you know, a huge 18-wheeler. So that was a bit of a learning curve, because you can't fuck up. You only have one shot at this. You can't turn around. Or if you can, you have to find a really big parking lot to do so. So, yeah, we want to put a different head unit in there. And then I guess we're just adding on a Sonos, I guess, output device so it can play through the Sonos system, through the receiver that's already in the truck. I think we're also upgrading the television.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure why we're doing that, but I think it's to have a smart TV, I think. I don't know. And then we're getting Starlink. So that's the big, and that's the big thing.
Wi-Fi, correct?
Yes. Yes, which was the big problem. And you're very well aware, when you get to these racetracks, some of them have no Wi-Fi or no cell service. So,
or both.
Or both. So we're getting rid of all. There's also like an old cable box. Like, we don't use cable. And if we do, you know, we can just get it.
1990s.
We can just stream it. So, yeah. I mean, it's a 2019. I don't know why they put that in there. But anyhow.
Because who the hell can afford that? Boomers. That's why.
Boomers. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I want my Fox.
My Toter. Yeah. My DirecTV.
So that was what we were working on for that. And then we're replacing the speakers, but that's easy. That's just plug and play kind of shit. So that's the easiest part, because they're just like automotive 6-inch, you know, speakers. So the only thing we had to do
was... So when are you planning on doing all this?
I don't know. Hopefully in the next week or so, next couple of weeks, I'll just keep plugging away at it.
Okay. And you're taking it step by step?
Fuck no. I'm just doing it all at once.
Yeah, it sounds like a 3-day activity.
It is a 3-day activity. It'll turn into a 3-week activity, knowing my luck. So,
well, you don't have enough time for that. You got to prep for CMP.
My car is pretty good so far. Knock on wood. I just have to do a few things. So, but one of them that I was working on was repainting and re-riveting the vents.
Mm-hmm.
So my car has a bunch of, like, you know, vents on the hood that are riveted onto the hood. Yep. And I had to take those. I had to get all those rivets out to remove the wrap, because the wrap was like underneath. So, and while we took it apart, I decided to repaint them, because they were all fucking just sandblasted from the years of track driving. So we did some of that. I installed some brake ducts for the car from the FL5 Type R, which I don't know how much of a benefit that's going to be, but...
Are they ducts or like deflectors?
Deflectors. They call them ducts, but it's like a deflector.
Okay. Okay.
The FL5 ones are more of like a scoop, whereas the FK8 ones are more of like a wrap. Like it's like a bunch
of things. Like a guide?
That guides it. Yes. It's a guide and less of a scoop. And I just feel like the FL5 one is probably going to work a lot better. Especially based off of like the material that Honda put out. They were like, oh yeah, we made the brakes a lot, you know, better cooling by like, you know, 30%. And like while the duct is a little bit bigger, I have a feeling most of it has to do with that, the guide itself.
Yeah.
That's where the big improvement is. So worked on that, did some other things, and yeah, so that's what I do with the Honda. Slowly but surely, the wrap is completely off now. Did that.
Oh, good.
My fingers are bloody, like nails are gone, but yeah, that's done. That was a pain in the ass, but yeah. Thankfully I have awesome friends who helped me out.
How long was that wrap on there?
3 years, give or take. Okay. So it wasn't too bad. You just need to put some heat on her, and then she came off. The hardest was the roof, because that gets the warmest, so it just fucking bakes onto it.
Yeah.
So that was a fucking pain in the ass. But the rest of the car, like taking the doors, easy. Obviously, I didn't do the like a lot of the bits that have to come off anyways for when they rewrap. So I figured let them do that part, like door handles and other things that they're gonna have to take apart anyways to rewrap it. So that I left on, and I left the front bumper because I'm not using that bumper again. So
You got a new one.
Yeah, I got a new one that doesn't sag. So
yeah,
hopefully that fits a lot better. Yeah, and I'm just doing, you know, I'm getting all the stuff needed to, you know, oil and fluids and all that shit. So brakes. So that's the update on my car. How are you? How's everything going with you?
Good. Actually, my car is at Fortune right now. We're putting rebuilding the 510s, and I'm changing spring rates and shock stroke, and that is it. The brake fluid's done. Rear diff fluid is done. I might do an oil change before March 9th, the event. I'm dropping off to get the livery done on Friday. Aligned tomorrow. So yeah, I just have to put the tires on my wheels, which I can do at any time.
When's your first event? I'm sorry.
The 9th, the 10th.
Oh yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah. And then after that is a little break before CMP, and I'm hoping the Paragon pads will be here in time for that event, so that way I can have fresh front pads. But other than that, yeah, I mean, the car's ready to go.
Sweet.
So
did you so you said you're changing the spring rate and what was the other thing that the stroke, right? Is that because you are trying to counterbalance
shock stroke?
Yeah, shock stroke. Are you trying to counteract the aero changes? Is that what you're trying to do, or is it just because you want it different?
Well, I have enough room, and I want to add more front travel. Plus, having the aero and it, you know, pushing the vehicle down, having a little bit more travel would be nice. Plus, I have the room to do it, so I might as well do it. So, yeah, I'm adding more travel in the front. The rear is staying the same, but I'm increasing the rear spring rate. So plus, like, the rear, because it's divorced, like the spring and the size spring that I'm using, like that only has but so much stroke, and it has less stroke than the damper itself. So like having like a ton of shock stroke versus like only a little bit of spring stroke, there's really no point to have that unless I'm running like a helper in the rear, but I'm not, because, you know, the spring is going to end up contacting the coil of the other spring before like the damper bottoms out. So it's pointless to have like.
Did you rear bottom shock out a lot last season or the last few seasons?
No. I didn't bottom out at all. No.
Okay.
I don't really, like I said, in the rear, I don't really need it, but it's available if necessary.
You never know.
If I get to that point,
that wing and that splitter, it could make so much downforce. You might be able to drive upside down. So,
no. The front doesn't make much downforce. Might make, I think, like on the computer scaling, it was like maybe like 150 pounds at 100 something miles per hour. Just because like how my splitter is now, because I have a hole like not too far from the leading edge because of the trans cooler. So we cut that out. So that like loses downforce because there's a hole in the splitter, and I don't have tunnels because I don't have space for tunnels like splitter ramps.
Yeah.
So front doesn't make a ton of downforce, which I'm cool with. I'm fine with. I don't need a ton of front downforce anyway. The rear can make a ton if necessary, but I'm probably going to keep it neutral. Probably because it makes enough downforce with that setup. I don't need more angle unless I do. But I guess, like I said, it's going to be testing and figuring all that out. That's the plan for that first event. It's literally just shake the car down.
So I'm going to ask. I want to hear what you seem to think. How do you like your car set up? Like from an alignment perspective and also a driving perspective. Like, do you like having a car that's, you know, tight, meaning it can handle, but it's also edgy? Or do you like a loose car where, you know, the back end moves around a lot?
It, So in a front wheel drive car, I want the rear loose. And in an all-wheel drive car that's front-wheel drive bias, I also want the car loose. In a rear-wheel drive car, obviously, I don't want it loose at all. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's sketch. But yeah, front-wheel drive car, I want the car loose. So typically, like, how I have my car set up, I have, like, negative 4.2 degrees of camber in the front, zero toe. And then in the rear, I have negative 3.5 degrees of camber and 1/8 inch of toe in. Yeah, that's how I have it. And then I have more rear PSI, like, cold in the front. Yeah,
it's fucking wild.
I don't have an adjustable sway bar, and I probably should, but to install it,
to install the sway bar, you got to pull the whole subframe.
You have to pull the rear diff. It's like a 14-hour job. It's like, oh, it's way too much work to just put it in a rear sway bar, and it's like, I'm not doing that.
Nobody's been able to make a different one that reroutes it differently?
It's not worth it.
Okay, fair enough.
No, it's just how it's routed from factory. It's just...
What if you put, like, solid end links?
Like, the rear diff.
That'll help. You'd
probably have to drop the rear subframe.
What if you put solid end links?
So, there is, like, I think Whiteline. Whiteline makes adjustable rear end link kit that's spherical, but I don't know how much that really is going to change much of anything. So, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see. I mean, we'll see how the car wants to act with the aero and stuff, and I'll make changes if necessary and see how that goes. But how, you know, obviously on a front wheel drive car, it's a lot easier to install a rear sway bar because you have no rear diff. So,
it's
straightforward.
Unless you got a GLA, then you got a rear diff.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, the way I've set up my car is I am very similar to you. I like to have a car that the rear end will move when I want it to. I like to be able to have that adjustability. Yeah. Now, the downside is with that is when it's cold out, that car will literally spin out or drift. like, if you're not careful, that thing will go full op-a-lock.
Same drift.
So, that has caught me off guard a few times. I'm like, whoa, shit. I have my sway bar set to full stiff. I forget what I run on the back. I think it's like 2 degrees of camber, 2.5 degrees of camber. And then the front, I run negative 3.5. Now, the one thing I will say, and I don't know if this is because of the bigger tires or not, but if I'm understeering and the car isn't turning, then that's a good, you know, sort of inclination to, it kind of gives me a sort of whereabout of how bad the car is driving. Like, for example, like if I'm at Lime Rock and I turn the car in and it doesn't want to turn in, that usually means either the track has gone to shit or I'm overdriving the car. So in my head, it kind of gets me to slow down a bit. But it takes a while for that to happen. Like, that car is glued to the road. So,
good problem to have.
Not a bad problem to have. Not a bad problem to have steamrollers in the front.
Yeah. So, when I had the Focus, I had it set up similar to you have the Type R set up too. Yeah. But like I said, like you mentioned, like a controllable, like, loose rear is a lot better than, like, just
understeer
it being all over the place.
I mean, some people like to have understeer because it's safer and they're more willing to take chances with that. But on a front wheel drive car, I just feel like your speed is all about trail braking. And if you're understeering, you're not going fast. So you need that grip in the front. I think also it's hard for people who've driven rear-wheel drive cars to jump in a front-wheel drive car and drive it quickly. It's a tougher learning curve than I feel like the other way.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so comfortable in front-wheel drive. If I sold the GLA, I would get something for front-wheel drive.
What would you get? Let's say, you know, you're like, you know what? Lewis is gone. I'm gone too.
I'm gone too. Where's my front-wheel drive Ferrari?
Yeah. Where's my Ferrari FF with the axles taken out the back?
I know you're not going to like this one.
No.
You already know the answer to it. I've said it before.
Oh dear, where are we going with this?
It's a front-wheel drive car. It's British.
Oh, for fuck's sakes! God, yeah. Enough.
I would get a Mini Cooper GP. I would get one. I don't know. I just love them. I love the aero on them. I just love everything about them. I just wish they came in manual, the GP3s. But
what about a GP2?
That's okay. I don't like that engine. That engine, dog shit. The 1.6. It's just not good.
Oh, God, I can't stand that fucking new one, though. I think it looks so bad. I like the first and the second gen, but the third gen just lost me with the fucking, you know, lunch trays on the side. Fucking looks like absolute dog water.
Yeah. I don't know. That car appeals to me for some reason.
I feel like you like it because it's different. And I think that's what makes your vehicle, maybe not the Focus as much, but what you did to the Focus was different. But I think you do tend to go after vehicles that aren't what everybody else goes after.
Well, so I used to have a Mini.
Oh, I know.
And I always like Mini. I mean, I like R56s, like the second generation Minis. And I love the Cooper Coupes? Like the John Cooper Works ones, like I like those. I mean, for the most part, I like most Minis, but like that Mini is so wild, like it's so aggressive. It's just so, I don't know. It's like the GT3 of GT3 RS of Minis, right? It's just like the top dog. I don't know. It's just
all right. I see where you're going.
Like, I can see it like a little lower, some cool wheels, and like. Maybe like a wrap of all one color, like that car will be fucking sick as fuck.
Well, to each is their own, right?
Yeah.
I personally think that brand has taken a fucking nosedive straight into the bowels of BMW's asshole. And
yeah.
I feel like they just don't give a fuck about that. I mean, when they came out, right, early 2000s, I loved Minis. I thought they were the coolest things. The supercharger whine, Italian job,
yep.
All that shit. I was like,
Italian job did it for me. Holy.
Between Charlie's sick and that car, I was like, okay, I love this thing.
Yeah.
You know Jason Statham's in that movie?
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
He had hair, I believe, in that movie, and that's why I didn't pick up on it. Yeah, he's in that movie. Totally forgot. I know Mark Wahlberg's in it and shit, but I totally blanked that Statham was in it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I loved Minis. Backtracking here. Minis were cool, right? And I think the company really, BMW really did invest a lot of R&D into the first couple generations of the Mini, right? Mm-hmm. They had the one that looked like the hat. They had, obviously, the wagon thing. But when they started making the bigger Minis that weren't Mini anymore.
Like the Paceman.
The Paceman. Clubman. Actually, the Clubman was fine. It was the
Clubman's like that wagon looking thing.
Yeah, I didn't mind that because that was just an extended Mini Cooper with a with a fucking bread van on the back. I didn't mind that shit. But
the Paceman, Clubman, and then what's the other fucking one?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the one that isn't a Mini. It's just a,
right, it's just,
you know,
a fat, smaller SUV thing.
I feel like that's when they started to lose their way.
Clubman. Oh, wait. I already said Clubman.
Did you I said that. Clubman? All right. Okay. All right. So it is the Clubman. All right. So yeah. So.
Yeah, you know, it is. Because Countryman, Clubman, Paceman. That's it.
Okay. I was thinking of the Countryman.
Yeah.
All these fucking
names. I know. They're so fucking stupid.
Like, why can't it be a woman? Why's it always got to be a man? Why can't it be the country woman?
The country woman. Yeah, that's it.
You know, they have some, you know, special models. They got the white woman. And, you know.
Yeah, I think that would sell well. Yeah, the thick woman. That's it.
You know, they change up the names.
Yeah.
You know, they got big man. I don't understand. I don't understand the naming convention. But
I don't get it either.
Yeah, so Mini really just my, you know, honest opinion, fell off a fucking cliff. And, you know, their likes have never been seen ever since. Whatever they've come out with does nothing for me. It's all trashy old BMW parts thrown into a chassis that that no one cared about. Like the Electric Mini, we've talked about this on the show, I'm pretty sure. Those were shit, okay? Those were absolute garbage. They went like 40 miles. Who the hell's going to buy that?
Is that really how far they went?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just bullshit. But like, okay, let's say it goes 90 miles. You have it for 5 years. It's cold as shit in Boston. It could only go, theoretically speaking, maybe it could only go 30 miles.
Yeah, they have their place if you like live in a city and you only stay in a city, then I'm like, okay, maybe that's fine. But anywhere else, it probably isn't.
And then they had that three-cylinder one that was, I had a roommate who had one. And so Tom and I would have to move this car often. Mm-hmm. And this fucking car, it was relatively new. It was like, you know, at the time it was maybe a year or two old. The shit would backfire when it would start up. It would smell like just rich fuel. It smelled horrible. And Tom originally thought it was the Infiniti, but it turns out it was that bloody Mini. It would like pop and bang. Cold starts were horrific in this thing. Not to mention it always had a check engine light.
That goes without warning, you know?
You know, it's just a thing. And the automatic thing for the GP just really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, what the fuck? Why couldn't you put a manual in it? And don't give me the whole thing. It's too much power. Can't handle. Like,
well, the thing about it, it's not even a good, like, auto. It's not like a dual clutch. It's just like a...
It's just like an old 8-speed.
Single action. It's not even like a ZF either. So
it's what is like, it? It's like just minis.
It's some auto. It's not like a cool auto, though.
Is it? Well, okay, what is the definition of a cool auto?
I don't know. Dual clutch, that's cool. Cooler.
Isn't that not an automatic, though, technically?
Well, technically, if I'm not shifting gears, it's an auto.
All right. So all right, Mini, another strike for the Mini with the auto tragic bullshit.
Probably maybe you would even get like a John Cooper works with the manual, like a newer
JCW. That'd probably be fun. I'm curious now what kind of transmission this is. Car and Driver gave it a 6 out of 10.
Is that good?
No, that's not great. Oh my god. First, okay, you know what came up on Wikipedia? What? Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, JCW.
JCW. I looked that up and then it's like, oh my god. Come on. Fucking Wikipedia. Throwing me shit like that. All right, so, oh god, yeah, it's just like a standard old automatic,
right? I think that was the biggest complaint from other that were driving it. But I mean, I feel like if they didn't have that, it would have got way more praise.
Oh, they make a convertible one, so not only can you have it with an automatic, but you can also have it as a convertible.
Wow. So, wait, now they don't make a GP3 with the convertible, do they?
Maybe not.
A John Cooper works for sure.
So okay. No, they do. John Cooper Works Convertible 2022.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a GP, though. Like, just normal.
No, just a regular one.
Yeah.
How much do you think a loaded John Cooper Works?
They're way too fucking expensive.
How much?
They cost more than a fucking FL5. They're like $45,000, $46,000. $50,000.
This one was $45,000.
Yeah.
How? Where?
I don't know. You literally just buy it 2 years later and it's 20 some thousand dollars.
All right, so rule, if you're fucking buying one of these, buy it used. Don't ever buy it new unless you like 100%. Taking money and burning it. All right, so 301 horsepower, that's not too bad.
Yeah, for the GP it's pretty. I mean, for it ran a one car, it,
all right, what lap time did you do?
20 what
I'm reading this Road and Track article, what lap time did you run at Lime Rock?
Me?
Yeah,
102.
So this, the Mini GP out of the factory did a 102.7.
That's pretty, on stock tires?
Stock ever.
I would imagine.
Stock ever.
I feel like that's not fast. It should be faster, but maybe not.
I mean, it's 300 horsepower, but I'm going to guess this fucker weighs a lot.
The car weighs nothing.
It How much should it weigh? Like, how much does it weigh?
3,000 pounds. Like, if that, probably 2,900 pounds, I would imagine. 20, 22.
God, I just can't get over its looks. It's so fucking ugly. Like the front, it just looks like it's like a fucking fish or something. It's got the expression of help of my teeth.
Wait, why do they fucking have any kilograms? Lean American. So it looks like it uses a 225. That's okay.
They said the transmission's not great. Here, let me read this.
It says 2,700 pounds, so almost 2,800 pounds.
All right, so shifting at 55 RPM feels anticlimactic and frustrating. That was there. There is not the same authoritative feeling of a DCT when changing gear or even a ZF8 speed. So, yeah, they're basically saying the turbo lag on the street's fine, but on the track, it's a bit disappointing.
Right.
I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
I like that they're still making it.
John Cooper works in.
I would get the old one, dude. The one with the fucking manual. Can you still get a manual in the John Cooper?
Yeah. Oh. You can get a manual in John Cooper. So that's why I said
that.
Yeah.
Just get that. Throw the turbo on it.
Yeah. For sure.
The fender flares are so bad because they're not even attached to anything. It's just, like I said, like dinner tray tables.
Yeah. You know? It's like a fake Y body.
TV dinner trays, you know? Oh.
But yeah, I feel like 102, it should have been faster than 102 if it weighs 2,700 pounds.
Well, it's $45,000 too. That also doesn't help. I don't know.
What FL5 run around there? What do you think a stock FL5 will run?
Probably 102.
Yeah.
I'd say 102. 101, yeah. 102. You know, really good driver and it's cold out. Probably a 101, 102, somewhere around there. Think the tires are the limiting factor of all these cars.
Right, and that comes...
What's that Mini come with? Like a 245? 235?
No, 225.
All right. So, yeah. I mean, you add some more tire and that car is a sub-minute.
Sheesh.
Makes me feel really shitty.
Right, these cars are just so quick. But you know what? I still ran a 102 with a 30... At the time when I ran that, I was full weight. The only thing I had done to it was coilovers and tires. And that was, you know, the car still weighs 3,700 pounds at the time. Something like that.
So with you in it. With you in it, 38? Fuck, yeah. Bro. It's getting up there in Camaro territory.
I know. Fucking fat ass crossover. That's what happens, man.
Yeah, well.
Even now, it still weighs 3,600 pounds and 3,700 with me in it.
Did you rip everything out of the back?
So.
Did you pull everything?
Other than the sub. Yeah. Everything else is gone.
Yo, you got to have that sub. Can't.
I got to have the fucking sub. It's a fucking Mercedes. Come on.
I can't still be bumping tunes.
I still drive around the car. Yeah.
You can't be playing music without a sub. I mean, like, gosh. Imagine playing, you know, 21 Savage without a subwoofer. It's like you're going to a Chinese restaurant and ordering the chicken fingers. It's just a bad idea. It's just, what are you doing? Right.
It's disrespectful, to be honest.
Absolutely disrespectful to him, to the music industry. Fuck.
To me? Yeah. No, I get it. I'm 100% on board. That's why I still have it on there.
Even though
the Harman Kardon fucking system in that car is dog shit. It's probably the worst system ever.
Why do you say
it
that?
It is so shit.
Tinny?
But it's just, it doesn't hit at all. Mm. No, it just doesn't hit. It's just like, I don't know. It just
can you put an aftermarket sub in there?
I could, but I wouldn't do it now. But
that was amazing. Listen. You need to be coming out strong this year, and I think your major mod is getting a big fucking subwoofer. All right.
Yeah, and just playing, blasting that shit on grid.
I think you need to psych everyone out. Well, I was gonna say you need to psych people out. You need to, you know. Get some sort of like air canister that shoots the trunk open, and then you just start blasting music, and it gets them all confused. Lap time done, podium for you.
What was the cars guy that had the subs?
Oh gosh, it was like Snot Rocket.
Wingo. Was that him?
I think so. Oh no. Hold on, let me look this shit up.
Cars probably like fucking hitting the screen right now.
All right, with speakers. That was list of cars characters. All right. Oh fuck me, dude. Oh shit.
Why did it just pop up?
No, it didn't come up. There's a lot of cars in this movie. That's the problem.
Cars 1. Is that Cars 1? Yeah, it's Cars 1.
Yeah, Cars 1. Yeah. We got ourselves a nodder. Car with What the hell was it? It was like a jukebox.
It's like, yeah, a jukebox.
What the fuck is that car? It doesn't even.
I'm surprised it didn't fucking come up.
Coming up.
Fine. Someone's gonna know it.
Someone's gonna text me.
They just won't be.
And be like, you guys are so fucking AKA stupid.
Corey will text you.
Oh, God. Yeah, Corey's gonna be like, how could you
yeah,
mess
it doesn't
that up
come
so
up,
much?
Which is wild to me.
They're probably trying to.
Anyway.
Know, highway scene. Pixar cars. Oh my god. Like, I can find it on the web for photos, but no one knows
yeah,
the names of
it. But it won't tell you who it was.
Highway scene. Now I'm on a fucking mission here. Come on, computer. All right, let's see.
It's fine. It's fine.
Nope. Yeah, all right. We'll move on from this.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, damn, we're already at 40 minutes. I guess, real quick, we can. Talk about Time Attack Japan or Tsukuba,
Japan.
Say. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, let's talk about that for a little bit. So, Tsukuba is like the mecca of Time Attack, right?
The pinnacle for at least Japanese Time Attack for sure.
Yeah.
But it's probably the most notable one around here. I guess Time Attack in general.
Yeah, and it's in Japan, and not many people from America go there, right?
Yeah.
I would say that there's probably maybe 10 people who've ever done that.
Yeah, I can only think of two.
Who's the other one?
Right now.
Yeah,
Will.
Will, yeah. So, okay. I'm trying to think what
and then
year he went there now. Yeah. I can't remember what year
he was there. It was, I think he went 2 years, I believe, or one. But it was like 2019, 2018. Yeah, it was before COVID. So probably like 2019 or 2018, something like that.
Interesting. Okay, so.
But yeah, I mean.
And what did he run? What did he run for a time? Because I
went
know.
53, I believe.
That's fucking fast.
53 something. Yeah,
so
which was
for people,
the fastest front-wheel drive car.
For people who don't know, the record there is what, like a 50?
49.
And that was an Evo, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Ferris
yep.
did it at 51, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so that's fast. That's third place out of everybody. That's not just third place for Corvettes, which I'm sure he's the only
right.
Corvette that's ever been there.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I think it's as American as it gets. The biggest engine with the most horsepower, and
yeah, with two fucking turbos.
Yep,
hanging off the side of it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It's the pinnacle of what America like. Bald eagles, screaming bald eagles, like represents.
It's the Big Mac of, race cars.
Right.
And it's like everybody's there with their like lightweight, Japanese sports cars. And then it's just fucking Corvette. Loudest
right.
thing probably there, shooting nuclear flames out the sides.
So. Yeah. Which, I mean, hey, congrats to him because
for sure.
51 is fucking nuts. And to be honest, looking at the data, it looked like a 50 was 100% on the table, which is even crazier because he doesn't have nearly as much seat time as those.
Oh, like, God,
drivers.
No.
They've been driving that for 20 years.
30
years.
I'm sure he'd only played it in video games and Sims up until
right.
that point. So, yeah, good for him. I mean, God, first thing, getting a car over there is stressful enough.
Right.
Shipping a car to Japan and hoping it makes it there, like, I get stressed out when I have to order a part from Japan and I'm hoping it shows up.
Yeah.
So, good for him. That was a big effort. And also, I don't think there was many mechanical issues, right?
No, because I think he fixed a lot. Because I know he did a couple test days with the car and then the actual event. I don't think really much went on with the car, like mechanically issues or anything like that. But I know he's going to get the car back. Improve upon it because I mean there's a lot of things to change, and I know he's doing another chassis of the same car just with the stuff he's learned and things learned over time, so he's gonna have two winning Corvettes.
You think that I feel like he is the last of the dinosaurs in a sense of I feel like in America anyways, that style of time attack is just non-existent, meaning people spend thousands upon thousands of dollars for the fastest cars.
You know, that's funny. I think, if anything, in time attack, I feel like his car has become a trend now. Like, people are just diving more into Corvettes because it's just like an easy button. I wouldn't say an easy button, but it's just like a really good chassis, double wishbone.
Good, like, place to start.
Good place to start. Wide as hell. The every panel comes off of it and is interchangeable. They have, you know, they've been winning, like, you know, the series events, like the GT cars and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, for years. And now it's like, it's finally getting to the grassroots level where people are like, wow, this chassis is like phenomenal. Why haven't I been doing this for, you know, for whatever? Because, like, you have Ferris now with like a 1300 horsepower Corvette. Now he's about to make another one. And then Dussold or something like that.
Never heard about this person.
So he's the one who has that 67 Camaro. Oh, that comes to those.
Dude, that thing is. Oh, yeah.
So God, they just built a 1300 horsepower Corvette, a C6.
Oh, so they're going after his.
Also
records.
Has two turbos. Sequentials.
Sequential.
Yeah, sequential and all of it.
Oh my gosh.
So, and then you have like Eric Fleming, who has the naturally aspirated Corvette, the fully built. It's like 700-800 horsepower natural aspirate. That car sounds nuts.
I think you might be onto something. I feel like for a few years though, it was dead. Like that whole limited class. For sure. Like, nobody was in it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, remember, I think you used after to see
Will's run, people probably stopped trying. They're like, eh.
Yeah. He's fast, but now we can't.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder if Will's gonna come back.
I hope he does.
I do too. I love that car.
That competition and unlimited needs to be a thing. Like, cause like that's exciting. Like, you go out for the, well, I would never be in that session and think the gods I'm not. Cause I would hate to be driving like, ha, la, 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 la. And then you have fucking Ferris flying up on you. Like, you know, you might as well just throw the lap away, or you just feel bad trying to be like out of his way. Like, that car is so fast.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean,
right. So it's, yeah.
I watching his videos in that car, I'm like, why are his gears so short? But it's not that his gears are short. The car is that fast. It shifts. It needs to shift to the next gear. That's how quickly it goes through the gears.
Right.
So it's wild. And he did really well in Australia too. So good for him. Yeah. NASCAR Daytona 500 happened.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did not watch it. I just saw the mayhem that happened, and then people not whining, but complaining about like the outcome afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're a NASCAR fan, or even if you've even watched the race in the last 50 years, since they've started doing pack racing, which means the cars are really close together,
mm-hmm.
It creates a lot of drama. And when one car starts to spin, it takes out all the other ones.
Yep.
It's called the big one because it's 20 cars gone. Just totally wrecked. Junked. And this happened. Actually, the Daytona 500 was pretty clean up until that point. There was like one semi-bad wreck in the beginning, but only a couple cars got taken out. But with like five or six to go, the big one happened. It took out so many cars.
Yeah.
So then that happened. They got the cars back. You know, they cleaned up the track and they tried to do the last couple laps. And with one lap to go, one of the drivers hits another car, spins out, the caution flag comes out. Now, by the time the caution flag came out, they had already passed the last lap.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the person who passed that first won the race. So that's why people were pissed off, because like, oh man, like, you know, this guy got cheated out of the race. Well, that actually isn't what happened. Actually, when the caution flag was thrown, flown, the guy who won the race was actually ahead of what appeared to be first place. I know that sounds really weird, but there was two cars, and if you were watching it on camera, it looked like this other guy had won. And that's when people were like up in arms, like, oh, what the fuck? You know, he just got robbed. But no, it matters when the yellow light comes on. And in time, the other guy was ahead. William Byron, who ended up winning. So that's the controversy, what he's talking about. Other than that, I thought the race was pretty good. I mean, I've always liked NASCAR, especially the last few years. And as I've talked to you about that in the last podcast. So it was cool. Still don't know what driver I really like. I don't, you know, that's still a mystery to me. Right. But what isn't a mystery is the name of that fucking car, and it's DJ. How stupid are we?
Oh, God. It's fucking, so obvious.
Fucking dumb as shit.
Man, yeah. They make it easy for us, and we just let it
go. What do you think the occupation of Devin Montgomery Johnson III?
What?
That's his real name.
Is that really his real name?
Dude, I'm dead serious. That's what it comes up
as. Devin Montgomery
Johnson. This is on
Johnson.
Cars the Third. I mean, Cars Fandom.
What the hell?
Yeah, so is this you? Did you make this?
I mean, it sounds like it's me. So I guess I have to do the prophecy and just put subs in my car.
His occupation is the delinquent road hazard.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
No.
So
interesting.
So that's the name of him. And yeah, it was nuts. And one day I want to go to Tsukuba because I love Best Motoring. And actually, I want to go watch that now. So I think good time to end.
Yeah. Would you bring, if you had the opportunity, would you drive your car there?
Absolutely. If someone was like, yeah, I got a fishing boat, throw that shit on there.
How if a cutie was like, you know what? We want you to advertise in Japan.
The issues I have with that are the fact that I don't really fit in many things in Japan. And it's a long flight. But I would absolutely love to go to Japan. But ironically, the reasons I want to go to Japan have nothing to do with cars.
I just want to eat.
I want to eat. I want to try their food. I love sushi. But also, I want to go snowboarding there. The mountains and the snow there are incredible. So that's why I want to go to Japan.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Eddie wants to go to Japan to snowboard.
I do.
So, all right. Well.
Oh, hold on. Hold on.
See you later.
One last thing.
Whoa. Oh, okay. Well,
what? I saw you posted up a new little gadget that you got for your car. Can you tell me?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I got that from our sponsor, Rinscott or RS Pro. It is a quick release fire extinguisher cage mount. I know it was a mouthful, but yeah, it is like. So the bottle is like a dry chemical, like 2.5 pound bottle. Mm. And it attaches to the cage, and then it has a quick release mount on it, and it has like a pull tab. So you can just pull the quick release, and the quick release is like holding the bottle itself. So yeah, it just all slides off at that pull notice, and it's pretty sweet. And I needed one anyway. I needed a fire extinguisher because, like, well, it's just a good thing to have just in case.
Well, after your brake incident at CMP last year, I'm surprised you didn't get one then.
That was so sketch. Yeah. No, that's a good reason to have it. 100%. And it's crazy because I had like brake deflectors. Like, they help a ton on the front of that car, like, well, to keep the brake somewhat cool. But also, it was because the whole aero disc turbofan thing in the front that I learned my lesson. And that's okay. We all learn.
You tried. You know what? That's how you learn. You gotta try.
Now I just run it on the rear and it looked cool.
Does anybody else run aero discs?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But if anything, it covers the rear wheel, and that helps with aero properties because you're not having the face of the wheel, like the open spokes in the face of the wheel. Plus, like the rear doesn't like heat up as quick anyway, so it helps with the rear like brake temperatures, like at least heating up quicker. So,
oh, good to know.
Well, yeah.
All right.
But anyway, well, we'll see everyone next week.
Hopefully. Sounds good. Oh,
all right.
I got something we can talk about. I'm going to write this down before I forget.
All right. Write it down. Anyway. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.